From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie in for Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you this hour. Next hour, well, he calls himself the bad astronomer. He really isn't. Philip Plait, our guest on Coast to Coast, with a lot of science stories. Now, Art will be gone for the next several weekends. Several, and we're going to take your heat. A lot of you have suggested and requested that in one of our weekend programs that we run the Art Bell interview with the late Philip Corso, Colonel Philip Corso, the Day After Roswell author. So we will do that in the not-too-distant future. One of the weekends that Art will be off, we'll run that classic Art Bell interview with the late Colonel Philip Corso. Here's some stories of the day. Time Magazine headlining. Well, incredible stories about polar ice caps melting faster than ever. More and more land is being devastated by drought. Rising waters are drowning low-lying communities. By any measure, they say, Earth is at its tipping point. They say the climate is crashing and global warming is to blame. And they said the crisis is hitting sooner than anybody ever thought. Well, along with open lines tonight, I'm going to open up a special line just for those of you who live on the coasts to see if you're scared about all of this or if you're just going to hang in there and wait. That phone number, well, I'll give it to you in a moment, will be our special topic line. I'll give that to you with all the other numbers. There was a private party in Seattle following a zombie rave that was winding down when a man walked out, returned to the house wearing bandoliers of shotgun shells, opened fire on the young crowd. Six people killed, another critically injured as the fired dozens of rounds, police said. Outside, he then fatally shot himself when confronted by police. Police are saying in Seattle it appeared to be the city's worst mass killing since the 1983's Wahmi massacre, when 13 died in an attack at a gambling club. The victims, many of their faces painted and hair dyed for the zombie-themed rave, were in their late teens and early 20s. Well, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Tony Blair, has acknowledged that it may have been a mistake for him to announce that he would not be serving a fourth term in office. He said, people kept asking me the question, so I decided to answer it. Maybe that was a mistake, he told the Australian radio. He is on tour of Australia, New Zealand, and Indonesia, and he made the remarks after the Commonwealth Games. On Monday, he expected to launch a defense of his Iraq policy and a speech to the National Parliament. In an interview with ABC Radio, he was asked whether it had been a strategic mistake to announce his departure, and he said, well, I guess so. The Afghan man facing possible death sentence for converting from Islam to Christianity has scored a victory, and he saved his life when a court in Kabul dismissed the case against him under mounting pressure from countries, including the United States, to free him. Officials cited a lack of evidence in their decision to drop the case. Richard Fleischer, who directed the 1954 science fiction movie 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, has died of natural causes at the Motion Picture and Television Hospital in Woodland Hills, California. He was 89 years old. If you have never seen that classic, go find it at a video rental store. It is one of the best. And a German woman is threatening legal action after her aunt-in-law stole her grave and then was buried in it instead. Christa Jahn, 73 years old from Frankfurt, apparently bought a grave right next to her husband Hans and expected to be able to rest in peace next to her beloved. But she says she was shocked to learn that her husband's family had buried his aunt in her grave. And now she's suing the family. Open lines west of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is open for you at 818-501-4721. The wildcard line is 818-501-4109. And the special topic line, I'm going to open up for those of you who just live on the coasts. I just want to see if you're concerned at all about all this talk about global warming and the fact that your city is going to be underwater. 818-817-0021. I'm George Norrie for Art Bell this Sunday night, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Open Lines. I'm George Norrie and Ferrard Bell. Those of you who are sending me Fast Blast, by the way, right now, who did not hear Art last week and announced that he was going to take several weeks off, and me during the week telling you that he would, let me just tell you again, you know, he has been through as much as a man can be. You all know that. And he just wanted to take some time off, just several weeks, so he is doing that. That's all. Pure and simple. Let's go to the phones now. We've got open lines for you this entire hour. The next hour, of course, the bad astronomer, Philip Plait, joins us. I'm looking forward to talking with Philip. Haven't talked with him in many, many months, and a lot of things have happened out there in space. As a matter of fact, the United States is talking, really talking now, about putting a moon base up there and using it as a stepping stone for Mars. But it's getting to be a little more than just talk. So I want to talk with Philip about that as well. There's a comet apparently coming to this way. It's not going to hit us. Don't panic. Not going to hit us, but it's breaking up. And apparently this is the closest comet to come to Earth within 8 years. So I'll talk with Philip about that as well. Let's go to the phones. First time caller line. You're on the air with us. Where are you calling from? Hi.
Hi, my name is Sherry, and I'm calling from Kansas City, Missouri.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I just want to say that I haven't been listening to your show very long, but my husband has, and I have to tell you, some of the subjects that you all talk about are close to my heart, and I really appreciate you.
Which ones particularly, Sherry? Which ones do you really find?
I've experienced a lot of different things, but mostly I had an out-of-body experience after a car accident that I had, which I dreamed about several years before. And I can tell you that you do go somewhere when you die, and I hope that people out there realize that.
Well, when you got into the car accident, did you have that OBE right then at that moment? So could you see yourself in the accident?
Actually, I passed out before it happened because it was so traumatic to me because of the dream I had.
All right, well, tell us what happened.
Well, long story.
Shorten it up a little bit.
My girlfriend actually passed away during the car accident, and it was due to excessive speed, and I dreamed about actually wrecking into this specific creek when I was like 10 years old. And it was a reoccurring dream, which I dreamed 3 times. And which I don't know exactly what that means or if it's, you know, prophetic, but it just seems to me that I'm a dreamer anyway. And my grandmother was too. And so she always dreamed in threes as well. And most of the things that she dreamed also happened.
So you actually crashed into this creek that you used to dream about?
Yes.
Oh my.
So as we were approaching this creek, I literally passed out because I was in shock. And when I came to, I smelled gas and I smelled oil, and I heard the driver having a hard time breathing. So I actually thought that we had made it through and that we were okay. And as I started to open the car door to get out, I fell. I could feel myself falling. And that is when the next time I actually woke up or was aware, I was out of my body.
Oh, my God. Did you look back and see your body in the car?
Not at that moment. What I saw above me was a bright light. And I know that some people have said that their experience is through a tunnel. But
yes.
Mine wasn't like a tunnel. I was in total darkness, which I feared. And I saw this light, and I was just trying to get to that light.
Well, you know what would have happened had you gotten to that light?
Yes, I would have passed over.
That's
but
right.
At that moment, I realized I had died. And when I looked down, I saw my body, the accident, my friend, everything. I saw the paramedics that were working on me, the fire trucks, the ambulance, everything.
When you finally came back into your body, was it in the hospital? Was it out there at the scene?
It was at the scene, yeah. I first of all, before I went back, though, I was consciously with my mind speaking to someone. At the time, I wasn't real sure who it was. Like, maybe it was a family member, but it was definitely somebody I knew. And I begged them to come back. And they kept telling me, no, you want to come to the light. You know, things are going to be bad in the future. You may not be able to make it back. You need to come now.
You mean in most cases, they want you to go back. In this case, they wanted you to stay.
Right. Exactly. But they got real frustrated with me because I had this strong will to live because I wanted to be with my family so I could save them.
Oh, no. Something's wrong here. Something's wrong. I don't know who these spirits were, but the good ones, the ones I've heard, they are supposed to get you back into your body. They're not supposed to keep you. There's something wrong here.
Well, I felt the darkness was really, really bad. And while I was having that struggle of living and dying, they let me go, or whoever it was, and I flew right back into my body.
Are you glad you didn't go into the light?
Yes. Sometimes I have doubts about it, but I'm glad I'm still alive because I can tell people my story. And the one thing I want people to know is that you do have a soul. And if I could just, and I know there's a reason why I got on the air tonight to say this on your show, because you guys, you talk about so many different things that are so close to people's hearts, and you open the minds of so many people, and you just, I don't know how much I appreciate your show and you and Art, and I just want to tell people that because,
well,
you know,
thank you for that, first of all, but no, we're thanking you, one, for coming back, but two, for listening to the program and sharing that story with us. I'm sure it wasn't easy to do that. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Sure can. Where are you?
Yeah, this is Stephen Phoenix. Like to go on record with a dream prophecy of my own. March 29th, the city of Jerusalem will be destroyed with a massive earthquake this year.
March 29th, this is this week. The city of Jerusalem is going to be destroyed by a massive earthquake. Well, we're not going to have to wait too long, Steve, to find out if your prediction comes true.
Well, there were two other predictions in the dream. At the end of the year, a Hale-Bopp-style comet will rise in the sky, which will change the trajectory of an asteroid named Apollo, which will hit us May 10th, 2007.
All right, and how about the other one?
That's the other one.
All right, that's the two of them. All right. We will we'll monitor those, but of course we'll see. Now, tell me about this prophetic dream that you've had. How did this happen? I mean, how long have you been dreaming this?
Are you talking to me?
Where did the other guy go? How'd you get there,
George?
Yeah,
George. This is Dom from Rotterdam, New York.
What happened to the other guy I was talking to?
I don't know. I'm calling for the issue of global warming.
All right. I'm just wondering what happened to the other person.
I hope scientists are listening on this here global warming issue, because I think from 1940, they have been paving a lot of blacktop for roads in parking lots. And as the sun shines, I believe that it heats this blacktop up. There's so much of it all over the world. At nighttime it dissipates, and it makes
it. Well, you know what? That might have something to do with it. I don't know how much, but it might have something to do with it. There's no question cities are hotter than out there in the country because of all the concrete and blacktopping and things like that. There's no doubt about that at all. Now, I've got to ask you a question, though. You sure you're not the same guy with two different voices?
No. But my son told me in Florida they don't pave because it gets so soft. You see my point. Where it's warmer, it's even more so. But I hope scientists are listening and they check into this for me, please.
All right. Well, that's pretty interesting, but I'm still perplexed about that call. The person called said there was going to be an earthquake in Jerusalem this week. Wild card line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Well, obviously you are trucking somewhere.
Yeah, somebody put me up to it there in the studio. But, see, I got a question for you. I got a buddy of mine. He's listening, and the sounds of hell.
Yes.
And that big hole or whatever. And I was trying to explain it to him, and I was wondering if you'd ever heard anything more of that, or if you could just play that back tonight, if you had a short time to play the Sounds of Hell back, so
well,
he could hear it.
We might play it if our engineers can find it in Los Angeles. It's in the drawer, by the way, gentlemen, in the back there. You may be able to find it, David. But what that is, of course, there's two different camps. One is it's a hoax. And it's been labeled as such on the internet in some cases. On another end, it talks about the Russians were drilling and they stuck a microphone down this 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 foot hole that they were trying to drill. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, they came up with these strange sounds of people screaming. And it's really eerie, no matter what it is. And I think we have it. So I'm going to play it for you. I'll let everybody listen to it. We play it every once in a while. Here we go. You know, I used to say that sounds like something happening at a shopping mall, but honestly, now the more you listen to it and hear those screams, it sounds like a group of people, hundreds of people in some kind of catastrophe or something like that, doesn't it? Let's go now to our East of the Rockies line. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Well, good morning, George.
Good morning to you.
This is Brad calling you from Dayton, Ohio. It's always an honor to speak with you, and I want to thank you for giving us a live, fresh show tonight.
You're welcome. I'm going to do it again next Sunday, too.
Well, great. Turning on the radio there for a second, I thought I'd traveled time when I heard you say you're in for Art Bell.
You know what? It has been 3 years since I said that, and it is weird for me, too.
Well, it's great to speak with you, and by the way, that audio gives me chills every time I hear it. I mean, and coming from me, it's something because I'm going to go ahead and drop the bomb. I am an atheist, and that's about the only thing that makes me say, well, you know, maybe there's something else to this.
Yeah, let's hope that we don't go to hell, that's all. If that's a real sound, I don't want to be there.
Well, George, every time I speak to you, it seems like there's always something huge going on, but that's pretty much every day anymore. And I was dying to get on the other night when you had Alex Jones on there. I've yet to speak with him and can't wait to do that. But today I've been here at work and I've just been going through the radio waiting for you to come on and hearing everybody's take on this whole immigration thing that's going down. And to me, this seems a lot more dangerous than a lot of people on the radio and TV are making this out to be. I think immigration is something that should be controlled, but I'm also thinking that this could lead to another type of war, possibly, with the protests and the march. And I think I'm really concerned about this. I don't think I'm the only one, and I think that this could develop into something a lot more serious than what we're seeing right now.
You are very astute. You imagine for a moment. Let's just say Los Angeles, where they had 500,000 protesters. God forbid, what if they were rioting? What if they had guns? What if they were out of control? You know, and these are people who are supporting illegal immigration. They want this to happen, and you are absolutely right. You know, I'm going to be one of the first ones to say, of course, there's nothing wrong with controlled immigration. Anybody who wants to get into the United States, I understand that, and I welcome that because this is the best country in the world, but it's got to be controlled, and you just can't have an influx of people coming in hither and yon, and it's been going on probably longer than we can imagine. I hate to think how many illegals are really in this country. I think the estimates are way under, and you're absolutely right. It could be one of the most dangerous things to face the United States.
Well, George, I completely agree with you. And to me, I know that whether or not we should have went in there or not, Iraq is a big deal now, and terrorism is a huge issue, and it always will be. But things like immigration and global warming that are just getting more and more out of control every day, if things like that aren't looked at, God help us. I'm an atheist, but I will use that term because, you know, maybe something's got to give, because it doesn't even matter which party you choose to be in there. We need to start realizing this isn't about a party anymore. This is about the world.
You got that right. And that's a first. An atheist calling us saying, God help us. How about that? Anybody see V for Vendetta over the weekend? It's exactly what we've been talking about on this program for the last several years. I'm George Norrie in for Art Bell this Sunday. I'll be back in a moment with more open lines. And don't forget our special topic line for those of you who live on the coasts. I just want to see if you're scared of living there. 818-817-0021. Hey, Streamlink members are now able to get Ian's Coast to Coast Live via manual MP3s or podcasts. Thanks for your patience while we were getting that set up for you. You know, we jumped on the program before we had the podcast ready to go for that program, but it's ready to go for you now, and it started Saturday, so I hope those of you who are Streamlink members are enjoying that as well as the rest of the Coast to Coast programming. If you get a moment, get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Take a look at the feature article that Sean posted. These huge lemons in Cyprus. They're absolutely huge. They look like little watermelons, and everybody in the neighborhood there that woke up to see their lemon trees suddenly bearing fruit could not believe it. They're actually the size of soccer balls, if you can believe it. We're into our third week now, our campaign for Children's International. I want to continue to thank all of you who have participated over the years with us, and those of you who will. Our goal is to get 300 children sponsored, so we are moving in that direction. If you can afford $18 a month, which is about 60 cents a day for a one-year commitment to provide food, clothing, health care, and education, and so much more for a needy child, I hope you participate, and let's just jump on board. Don't even hold back. Just go to their website. You'll find it on the coasttocoastam.com website. On the left-hand side of the screen, there is a yellow flashing banner. It says Children International. You click that, that'll take you right there. Now, if you don't have the luxury of a computer and you're going, oh, but I want to sponsor a child, am I out of luck? No, you are not. Here is a toll-free number for you. Here it is, 800-301-9194. That's 800-301-9194. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie for Art Bell. Let's go to our flood line. You're on Coast to Coast, and welcome to the show. Hi there.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah, hi. And what coast do you live on?
New Orleans, the Gulf Coast.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Well, I've got a little insight here that might be useful to other people on the other two coasts to think about. We're really the only people, as bad as Katrina was and as big a mess as it still is down here, we're really the only people that can engineer against the rise in water levels, because we've already got basically the entire levee system in place, and we just need some more coastal restoration. You can't engineer the east or the west coast against anything.
No, you're right. You're right about that. Now, I'm not sure it'll work in New Orleans. God, I hope it does, but you're absolutely right. On the east coast, on the west coast, we get what God gives us, and that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, there's no way to engineer against it. And I might also add, look, the day that mountain slips into the sea off the Canary Islands, which could be tomorrow or 500 years from now, right?
La Palma, okay. You're right.
You're going to have a wall of water 100 feet high, 1,000 miles an hour, that's going to take out the whole East Coast.
It all depends on how that slippage occurs.
Yeah, but piecemeal or all in part, I mean all at once, right. But the point is, if the worst case, and then you take the West Coast, if the really big one hits in the San Andreas Fault, you know, where Los Angeles moves up to San Jose, right? Okay, you can't engineer against that. You can't engineer against Cascadia Faults out in the ocean. It'll send a tsunami that'll overtop the entire Seattle and Portland areas, right? Can't engineer against that either. So, and you can't engineer against the New Madrid Fault, which is going to rip every fuel line in the entire Mississippi apart, right?
Aside from the reason for global warming, aside from that, whether you believe it's man-made or nature does it on a cyclical basis?
Well, I hope it's man-made, because if it's something like an anomaly in the sun, then we're really doomed.
No, I think this. See, I think this planet does it every 100,000 years, but regardless of what causes it.
Sure.
I mean, if you were living on the coasts, be it the east or west coast, would you move knowing what scientists are saying, that sea levels will rise and that some of those coastal cities are going to be taken out?
Yeah, well, I think we're back to the Superman movie. What's his name?
Lex Luthor.
Nevada, east Gulf, I mean, coastal property, right? You know, remember the plot in Superman?
Oh, yeah, it was Lex Luthor, played by Gene Hackman.
Yeah, Lex. Lex may have been more right than he knew. I think that people are not going to disrupt their entire lives, but I think that, you know, the government can do a lot in terms of flood insurance for $100,000, you know, $500,000 homes on Cape Hatteras or Carmel or whatever, right? There are a lot of things that could be done to gradually wean people away, but I don't think you're ever going to get it. And then, of course, you got the economic aspect of the ports, too. Those aren't going to go away. So there are always going to be people, you know. That's like down here, people talk about relocating people. Well, you know, one-third of the entire nation's seafood comes from Louisiana fisheries, okay? One-third. Now, I don't know any other state in the union that produces one-third of anything, unless it's cranberries in Delaware. So the point is, where are you going to move those fishermen? You going to move them to Montana and let them commute? You know, fishermen go where the fish are, where the coast is, right?
You know, and I have said all along that it's very difficult for people to uproot themselves and to start another life someplace else. They are used to living where they're living. And unfortunately, what's going to happen is people will stay there, be it 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, and I hope it's thousands of years away. You know, and eventually someone's going to have to pay the price. But I just don't think people cannot just uproot and go, and they will wait for the catastrophe to occur, and that's when people scramble, and that's human nature. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Mary.
Hi, Mary. Oh. Where are you calling from?
Salt Lake City.
Okay, welcome to the show. What's up?
Thank you. Well, I listened to the other lady talk about her OB experience.
Yeah.
And I have had these all my life. And they've always been very pleasant. But I had one this week where I felt that the spirits were trying to drag me somewhere where I've never been, an awful place, hell.
You don't want that. Now, do you induce your own OBEs, or do they just happen? Okay.
I don't. I've never induced it myself. It first happened when I was 21, and I sat up in bed, and I looked down, and my body was there, scared the hell out of me. And I laid back down, and everything was fine. But I've had them ever since, every just once in a while. And that's what happened this time, only I didn't go through a light. I went to what was kind of like a hospital, and I couldn't get past the second floor. And then I was dragged down through an orange light, and I kept trying to get back to my body and open my eyes. I could feel myself trying to open my eyes and then get yanked again. And I've never been so scared in my whole life.
It sounds like more like a horrible dream.
Well, it does, except that I had the, I was lying on the couch, and I already had my coffee, and I was reading, and I just thought, well, I'm going to lie down for a minute. And I heard the noise, and I felt that, like, my body lifting, like it always begins. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't a dream.
Well, aren't you glad they didn't pull you into wherever they wanted you?
You know, finally they spit me right out, and I opened my eyes, and I've been shaking ever since.
They spit you right out.
Of like this orange, awful thing, and it was just like a place I couldn't get out.
Or aren't you lucky they spit you back out? Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Good evening, Mr. Norrie. It is certainly an honor and a privilege to speak with you this evening.
Likewise. Thank you.
I was wondering if you ever heard anything about the town of Goldfield, Nevada.
Goldfield, Nevada. I have not. Tell me.
I have not. It's,
what's up there?
It's not too far away from Mr. Bell's residence out there by Pahrump. But my wife and I traveled through there about once or twice a week, and we just happen to stop and take some photographs of the old Goldfield Hotel, the church, and the old abandoned high school. Well, as we're taking a photograph, we're using a digital camera, and I happen to take a few photographs, and I look back on the viewfinder, and there's a whole bunch of orbs in there. And my wife was getting a very, very uneasy feeling. She wanted to get back in the truck and head down the road, but I kind of convinced her to stay, and so we took a few more, and it was just unbelievable how many orbs we got in those photographs. And after we got home this last weekend, I did a Google search on Goldfield, and I found out that this town used to have a population of 30,000, and now it's just a mere shadow of what it once was.
What happened? What happened to it?
Well, they had a fire across the street from the hotel. A moonshine still blew up, and I guess it wiped out a few blocks of the town. Then they had a flood, which wiped out half the town. But if you were to see pictures of what the town once was and what it is now, it's just unbelievable.
You think those orbs might have been the dearly departed ones of the town?
Well, there's some pretty shady dealings, I guess, that went on in that hotel. Apparently, the owner, the original owner of the hotel, had gotten someone pregnant. And I guess back in the day when you're married to someone else, even nowadays, that's just not the thing to do. So what this gentleman did is he chained her up to a heater radiator in one of the rooms until she gave birth. And the story continues that after she gave birth, the gentleman took the baby down to the basement. And I guess there was a open mine shaft at the time down there, and he tossed the baby down there, and that young lady was never heard of or seen ever again.
Oh my gosh, sounds like the town was punished. Thanks for that call. Flood Hotline, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
My name is Mona.
Mona.
I'm calling from outside New Orleans.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. George, I'm a Nighthawk. Can I give a holler out to my guys?
Oh, absolutely. Sure thing. What name do you use, by the way?
Annabelle.
Annabelle. How did you come up with that?
Annabelle is my cat.
Okay. All right. Say hi to your Nighthawkers.
Hi, guys. It took me so long. They were trying to find numbers for me to call. There's one thing I wanted to tell you about. There have been so many bad reports from down here. And you know, there was a lot of good stuff going on, too. I'm going to leave, personally. We were going to leave before Katrina hit.
How long were you down there?
No, I'm still here. I've lived here 10 years.
Well, that's what I mean. All right.
Yeah, yes, and we're still here. And we're going to move into northern Mississippi when we can sell the house because we're tired of running from storms. But there were, you know, when we evacuated, there were a lot of good things going on the freeways. People were very cordial. We were in line for gasoline. We were in line at banks. And everything that the news showed was just not really good. So, you know, we would like to know that there were a lot of kind people, and we were thoughtful of each other. We got 1.5 million people out of this area, and we only have 3 roads going out.
I cannot picture what it is like to be in a situation like that, Mona, where 1.5 million people have to get out and get out fast, go to places they don't even know where.
No, we didn't know where we were going, but as soon as we got out of what the strike zone was, we had people in Mississippi opening their homes to us. They would say, "Do you have a place to stay tonight?"
Had you not had the flood, would you have stayed in New Orleans for a long, long time?
No, I think we have a house that's too big. No.
So
if we had a smaller house, maybe if we might have, but it's kind of time to get out. The kids are here and there and all that, you know.
Yeah, it is.
But okay. There are a lot of people, George, who are determined to stay here. They're so happy to be back home, they don't know what to do.
Yeah, they're going to fight. They're going to help rebuild it, and that's
good.
Well,
and they're putting floodgates in at the 17th Street Canal. They're copying a great number of the things that the Dutch have done.
You are very close to where our good friend Dr. Morgus is.
Yes.
He's in your neck of the woods.
George, I sent you a picture from Mardi Gras, and there was a person in a parade, and it had Morgus for mayor. I don't know if you remember seeing it or not.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I do remember that.
He told me at one point that they were trying to draft him for some political office, and this was years ago, and he didn't want to do it. Maybe it's about time we get the old boy back once he comes up with the 85,000.
There's like 20 people running for mayor down here. Maybe one more would matter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he might be a good candidate. You never know.
Right.
Thanks, Mona.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yep, she's part of the number of chat rooms all around the country, and that's one of them, NighthawkZone.com, folks. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. Nice to talk to you finally.
Thank you.
Also, I'm from the Art Bell, longest-standing Art Bell ESnet chat room on IRC.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to say hi from there.
Absolutely.
I've owned property down on the coast of New Jersey, and the property's been in my family for about 50 or 60 years now, and I think I have to echo what the earlier guy was saying, that, you know, people aren't just going to get up and move. I mean, while it is very scary and the scientific facts are behind it, I mean, if you take the chance and move, I mean, you're also giving up a lot, too.
Absolutely.
A lot of history.
I think, you know, people are gamblers at heart. And they will gamble that at least during their era, their time period, that they'll be able to weather it, if I can use that phrase, and they'll stick it out. And I think almost everyone will do that. Very rare will the person pick up and leave when they're not faced with a possibility.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, I mean, I was very close. We're two blocks off the coast. But, you know,
and that's expensive property. I mean, you can't just leave it in
exactly.
Go.
Especially with all the history behind it.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thanks for calling.
All right, nice to talk to you. Bye.
Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. It is your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, sir. There is a solution to melting this polar ice that's on land and solving the problem in New Orleans also.
What would that be?
And that would be a worldwide effort to put a solar sail in orbit at the gravitational neutral between the Earth and the Sun, where it would be very stable, and you could maneuver it with very little energy. You put a little bit on the Sun side of the gravitational so that the pressure of the light would be equal, and you could put a shadow or reflect the solar heat from the equator and, say, in the summertime as far north as New Orleans. And the beauty of this is you could continuously adjust it, and you could take it down if you didn't want it.
Almost like a huge mirror, that kind of thing, huh?
Or just a plain shadow, depending on the construction material. You know, the fiber optic or fiber filaments that would be real strong could just shade.
How big would the sail have to be?
Well, just whichever you're willing to expend to cast a shadow. And the beauty of this is that there would be all kinds of solar energy available. And if the world effort in spaceships were to put these up there, they could just keep adding to it till they got what they wanted.
That's a pretty novel idea. You know, what about the dangers, though, that we aim the sail the wrong way? And like a piece of glass, when you've got the sun, you can literally cook a leaf, for example, or anything else.
Well, at the same time, you noted that I said it could just be a shading material. It wouldn't have to be reflective.
Okay, so then, but it could throw us into an ice age if it doesn't work right.
Yeah, but all they got to do anytime they want is tilt it or tear it down.
But it's a fascinating idea.
All they have to do is move it off. See, it would be dragged also by the two gravitational forces if it got out of line, and all they have to do is just move the shadow off the Earth. They don't even have to.
I tell you what, I'm gonna ask our astronomer Philip Plait when he comes back in just a few moments. One of our questions: if that is even possible, what a great idea! If it could work, what a way to eliminate global warming. You just kind of deflect or diffuse the sun for just a little bit. But, you know, knowing the way that the world experiments, I'm sure something would go wrong very badly. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM this Sunday night into Monday morning. Don't go away.